So what do you still want? Yeah, you haven't left yet? So, well, how is your practice? I mean, new people, yeah, they didn't listen. I mean, I'm not giving every day the same talk, huh? So what is today? Today is Labor Day. Okay, so putu, labor. Anapanasati. You're already tired of it, yeah? You have to excuse me. So what shall I talk about it, actually? I mean, I explained everything, you know. I mean, what can I explain more, yeah? Maybe we should do a test. Yeah, what did I talk about? Yeah, what is important? Yeah, what is important in your life? Yeah, meditation. Make meditation a number one priority before you do anything else. Huh? Yeah, even go to the toilet. Yeah. You wake up from your sleep and then you do meditation. Yeah, and then you can go to the toilet, wash up, and have some breakfast. Some of the faces have lightened up a little bit, you know. I hope it lasts for more than 3 days. Mostly women, huh? Yeah. The men are busy working, you know, busy collecting money, so that the women can spend it. No? Well, maybe if somebody asks a question, I get the topic where I can talk about it. What's that? Ah! Secret. You have to find out who was writing this question. Yeah, life questions first.
When I hear something, sound, so I hear that the sound, the conscious, hearing consciousness, and then I actually can differentiate that there is a bottle sound, there is a perception is working. So I'm just wondering, this five aggregate, is it working or is just I thought of, you know? So I doubt whether five aggregate is working.
Well, what exactly is your question? What exactly is your question?
Is it the five aggregate is working or is just I thought of?
Is it what important?
Is it the five aggregates that are working?
Of course the five aggregates are constantly working. I mean, there's feeling, there's consciousness, there's, you know, there's memory, there's thought. They constantly come up, yeah? I know, I heard that there are some teachers, you know, especially Goenka tradition, yeah, when they go, yeah, just watch the mind, yeah, you can watch it for the rest of your life and nothing changes. You just see thoughts coming up, memories coming up, yeah, but nothing changes, yeah. We want to change things, yeah, through investigation, yeah, and don't go to the feeling and don't go to the thoughts and don't go to the memories, you know, just replace them with the Buddha or replace him with Anapanasati. Yeah? I mean, it's a common mistake of people, you know, there's a nice feeling coming up, we go to the nice feeling. Yeah? And then what happens? It disappears. Yeah? And then we feel sad. Why did it disappear? Yeah? Because we stopped working. Yeah? I said, meditation, yeah, meditation is like digging a hole. Yeah? As long as you dig, the hole gets deeper. Yeah, when you stop digging, yeah, When you go to the feeling, or when you look around, oh, the hole is so deep, you know, it slowly fills up with sand and the hole is gone. Understood? So remember this about meditation, yeah? Don't go to the feeling, yeah? Just stay with the Buddha or just stay with the breath. Yeah?
Ajahn, I would like to ask, earlier in my practice, I saw yellow bright light. Initially, I thought it was a sunlight, but it was really very bright.
Mm.
So I concentrate on the breathing as well as the Buddha. And there is a bit of like flash of memories, but not very clear. So I'd like to ask, what should I do when there is such a light? And in which circumstances the light will appear? And the second question is that, what will be the signpost that we are progressing in our meditation practice? Thank you.
As long as these things do not disturb you, you stay with the Buddha, you know that there's a light coming in. If the light is too intense, pull the light towards the heart. Yeah? If you cannot, it's the same as pain. If you cannot concentrate anymore on your Buddha or on the breath, yeah? I mean, normally it is a white light, yeah? The white light, you know, I mean, becomes very intense, you know, and we can't concentrate anymore on the Buddha or on the breath, so bring it into the heart. Yeah? Everything else, you know, it's not important, yeah? Just like I said before, yeah? If there, you know, we can say that there is a thought, Buddha. There's consciousness, Buddha. We don't notice consciousness, yeah? But there's a sound, yeah? Consciousness doesn't hear. Consciousness just tells us there's a sense data coming in, yeah? And then, you know, we have to figure out what of the senses were triggered. So sound, yeah? When sound is triggered, the memory, you know, brings up, you know, an assumption of what it is. Yeah? If you never heard the sound before, I mean, your assumptions run wild. Yeah? Tries to figure out, you know, it's just like you see something moving in the dark, you know, and you don't know what it is, yeah? I mean, thinking about a snake, thinking about this or that, you know, but it's, yeah? That is what memory does, you know, sense data, you see something, yeah? And then memory, you know, places a label on it, yeah? And sometimes you can see it, you know, especially if you don't know it, yeah? You see how it, yeah? How it tries to figure out what it is, huh? Yeah? So better don't believe it, yeah? When it's trying to figure out. If it knows what it is, you know, it comes pretty fast, yeah? But also, all these labels are not important, you know? They just distract us. You need to communicate. You need these labels to communicate. Otherwise, you know, I mean, how can you say, please pass me the sugar? Yeah, you need to communicate somehow. But, you know, do it. Don't overdo it. So, okay? Yeah? Remember, you know, I mean, it is of utmost importance, yeah? To develop sati, to develop this knowingness. When we are with the Buddha, yeah, then we know how the Buddha is. Is the Buddha fast? Is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow? It does not matter how the Buddha is. We want to know how the Buddha is. That's why I said go into the zoo and watch animals. You know, that's, yeah, you observe, yeah, just like you observe the Buddha, or you observe the breath, yeah. But people, you know, tend to control everything that they observe, yeah? That's why I said, go to the zoo, you cannot control the animals, yeah? But you can see what they are doing. And this is the quality that we need in our meditation, to know what is going on, yeah? And the calmer the heart is, the more we know, yeah? We don't even have to look up, we know what is going on around us. But we don't go there, because that is distraction, yeah? So this is, she making notes and marking it. Make the notes here in the heart. Then just because you make notes, now you forget it, you know. She forgets to open the book. If it is in the heart, it's always with us, yeah. So okay, so if that, yeah, there's another question.
Good morning, Ajahn. Right. My question is, as I
it's
wash.
Not a good morning.
Right. As I wash the Buddha, right. Sometimes the Buddha seems to disappear, and then I enter into a still room, quiet room, and then at times the body seems to have also like disappear, and then it's a happy feeling, and I seem to crave for this happy feeling. All right. And then sometimes when the happy feeling is gone. It goes back to the Buddha again, and I find that I do like this happy feeling, so I always like go for it, you know. And then this happy feeling is like a panadol to our daily lives, but the life's problems still remain, right? So can I seek your guidance if I'm on the right track? Thank you.
Yeah, if you just listen to it, you know it's on the wrong track. We shouldn't go to the feelings. Yeah? We should stick with our Buddha. What is actually happening? When we stick to our Buddha, yeah, or when we stick to Anapanasati, and there's a nice feeling, you know, be it happiness or joy, you know, or sometimes, you know, tears rolling up, yeah, rolling down. Keep on with the breath. Don't worry, yeah. Keep on with the breath, keep on. I just explained it. As long as you dig the hole, it gets deeper. If you stop digging the hole and look at the hole, it fills up. That's why the happy feeling disappears. No? Yeah. And that's what most of the people, yeah? They just want to go for the happy feelings, yeah? And then it disappears. And they don't know what created this happy feeling. Just that the mind is calm. It doesn't think. It doesn't look, yeah? It doesn't put any labels on it. It just experiences. Yeah? You understand? Just stick with the Buddha. Yeah? And what happens, you know, when you stick with the Buddha, yeah, there's a happy feeling. Yeah? And the happy feeling, if you stick with the Buddha, becomes more and more intense. Yeah.
Ajahn, but sometimes when you stick to the Buddha, right, the Buddha gone, you know?
No, it's not the Buddha is gone. It's your interest in the Buddha is gone. It's boring. Buddha. Ah, it's so boring. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the same with the breath. Yeah, people say, oh, the breath disappeared. The breath does not disappear. If you are close to Apanasamadhi, then the breath stops. It doesn't disappear. Because you know you're still breathing. Huh? You just need to concentrate on the body, and then you know you're still breathing. Yeah? How is that breath disappears? It's our interest on the breath that disappeared. Yeah? And it's the same with the Buddha. Remember this, eh? Write it down. Neither the Buddha nor the breath disappeared. I think I explained it last night very clearly. Yeah. Going in left, going out right, yeah. Never going down to the heart, yeah. That's why you should listen to a Dhamma talk with your heart, yeah. Then the brain doesn't have to do all these assumptions and conjectures and speculations. So, okay, another question? Let's talk about the meditation practice, yeah? Did you do some walking meditation? Yeah.
Anyone do walking meditation would like to share?
Anything about questions about walking meditation?
Bhante, can I ask? About the Buddha, how do we keep if we lost the interest, how to actually make this thing more interesting?
Do you have a hobby?
Yeah.
Okay. You're interested in this hobby and you forget everything what is around you? So, you take this interest into the Buddha. It's a trick. Yeah? So whatever you do with your hobby, you know, whatever you think, you know. I mean, if you combine things, you know, make models or things like that, you know. I mean, then you combine the Buddha. B-U-D-D-H-O. Whatever, yeah. And just be interested in it, yeah. Yeah. Be creative, you know. Use the skills that you have. Use the skills that you have, you know, and then apply it to the meditation, yeah. When I gave the guided meditation, I mean use visual images, yeah. I mean, when you work at Amazon, you know, all these parcels coming by, you know, and you have to stamp them, yeah. So you stamp them with puto, huh? You never stop, yeah. Amazon, Shopee, or Lazada, whatever you have here. Use it, you know. I mean, you really, you know, I cannot tell you what fits for your character. You have to know what fits your character. So use it, use your creativity, yeah? Yeah. But the more you play with your smartphone, the less creative you are. Huh? No? We Google, you know, what can we do when the Buddha is gone? Yeah. If Google would be smart enough, it says, repeat puto, puto, puto. Or when the breath is gone, huh? Look for the breath, the body still breathes. I mean, do they have some watches? Do they have some clocks here in Singapore or what? People don't seem to know when it's starting, huh? Coming every time, huh? That's not really respectful for the Dhamma, yeah? So, what is this?
In northern Thailand, there are also other arts like lana or lersi crafts practiced alongside classical Theravada tradition. What have you seen personally in the forests of Thailand? And what are your thoughts about these other crafts?
I really don't understand the question. What is he asking, you know? Put it together, ask me. What is it with northeast Thailand?
The question is about what are your thoughts about other arts in Thailand, such as the lana and the lersi crafts?
Lana and what?
Lersi.
Lersi. Oh, Lersi. Rersi. It's an R. Rersi.
Oh, Rersi.
Yeah. I mean, they practice, yeah, but I never actually asked them what they practice, yeah. One of the Rersis, you know, came to our monastery and practiced, stayed there for a week and practiced just the same thing, meditation, yeah. But they normally do have some magic powers, you know. That's why people love to go there. They're always, you know, fancied by these magic powers. Yeah, it's not Buddhism, but they practice. Yeah, it's a mixture, you know, probably a mixture between Hinduism, you know, Buddhism, and sometimes even black magic. Yeah, and that's not good. Yeah, so. Okay, yeah.
Bhante, good morning, hope you're well. My question is, if in a forest practice and you encounter people from the ghost realm, yeah. And how do we strengthen our mental state to encounter them? And I'm one who fear all this.
You just say, hello, how are you doing, what do you want? I mean, that's what you do with human beings, don't you? Huh? I mean, they are beings just the same. What? Are you scared of foreigners? Yeah, okay, and then you should. Then you're probably also scared of, you know, ghosts, huh? I mean, see them as beings, huh? Normally they come only Sometimes they bother us, you know, I mean, to tell us their story, you know, why they have become a ghost, yeah. Or they just want some metta, yeah. So you just listen to them, what they say.
Yeah. Communicating with the ghost.
Of course. I mean, don't you communicate with your colleagues? Yeah. Now we communicate with our heart, yeah. It's the same, yeah. Lumpu Man said there's one universal language. It's the language of the heart. Every animal, every being understands this universal language, yeah? As humans, we have so many different languages, yeah? That's why we can't get together, yeah? We find always these differences. Now, to say, hello, how are you? What do you want, yeah? Is there something I can help you with, yeah? Or have matter with them. That's why they normally come. I mean, when you have a dog, no? If you have a dog, you know, it needs to be, you know, cared about, you know, it needs to know, yeah, that you love it, yeah? So it's the same thing, yeah? They also want this, yeah? They want this care from you, yeah? Because in their realm, they don't get it. But also the devas, yeah? They also come down, you know, and asking for metta. When I was one time was in a big cave, you know, I did some metta maybe half an hour, you know, then I went out of the cave, you know, and at the entrance of the cave they said, Why don't you do some metta? I said, I just did it, you know. No, it's not enough, yeah. They're just wanting the same thing, their ghosts as well. Yeah? But sometimes the ghosts have to tell us a story, you know, about, yeah. So just us, yeah? Just beings. Yeah?
Do they look ugly?
What?
Do they look ugly or anything like that?
Do they know what?
Ugly.
They look ugly.
Only the hungry ghosts. The bread, pitta, they look really ugly, but they normally don't come, you know. Only if you go to their places. Do the people in hell look ugly? They are burned alive, they are chopped up, you know, and so on, yeah? So, it's not the thing that we want, yeah? Remember, keep the five precepts and you're on the safe side, huh? From yesterday on, not from now on, not from tomorrow, huh? Not from next year, yeah? Let's make a determination at New Year's Eve, you know, to keep the five precepts. Huh? No, now. It's one of the prerequisites before you want to enter the stream, yeah? So, yeah?
Ajahn, just want to ask you a question that you said yesterday. You were saying when we are doing activities that we don't need to use much of our mind, like maybe washing ourselves or washing the dishes, we can just chant Budo. If that's the case, wouldn't we lose our mindfulness of what's happening in our day-to-day life?
No, because the knowingness never goes away. Yeah, your mind, you know, disappears. Your rational mind or emotional mind disappears for the moment. Because you have sati, you know, the kilesas don't bring these things up. When you're with a Buddha, you have sati. How can you not know what you're doing? Yeah? Even when you walk, you know that you're walking. Yeah? But you don't pay attention to it. Huh? You don't have to label, I'm walking. Yeah? Huh? But some people do that when they're walking, meditating. Oh, I'm so mindful, I'm walking. Yeah? No, they are not mindful. Huh? One more thing about... yeah. Mindfulness and sati, yeah? Mindfulness, the mind is full. Normally, it should be the mind is full of one thing. Yeah? Whatever you do, that's where you put your mindfulness. So the mind is full of this thing, yeah? This one thing. Awareness or sati is mind emptiness. The mind is completely empty of any occupation. So you see the difference? And it knows, yeah? Because now we free all these layers, you know, that are on top of this knowing, yeah, that the kilesas use, yeah. They see something, you know, and then they use it to deceive us, yeah. And we get rid of these layers, you know, at least for a moment, yeah. And then we know what we are doing, yeah. And the citta knows if it is wholesome or not wholesome, yeah. Okay? Yeah? I think she has a question. You have a question? No?
Ajahn, would you please explain the kanha?
What the what?
Kanha.
Kanha, oh, the five khandhas. Huh? Oh, tanha. Desire. Now, is it kanha or tanha?
Five khandhas.
What?
Five khandhas.
It's the five khandhas. Body? Yeah? Body with all the senses. That's the first khanda, or the first group. Vedana, feeling. Yeah? It can be separated into mental feeling or bodily feeling. And there are three kinds of feeling for each, you know, for each bodily: pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And it's the same for the mind feelings. I mean, whatever you say, it is pleasant, unpleasant, or it's neutral. Yeah? Then you have sanya. Sanya is memory and association. I just explained. Consciousness says there's a sense starter, so the citta goes out and looks where the sense starter comes from. It goes to the ear and says there is sound, yeah? And then memory looks up what kind of sound is. Is it a woman talking? Is it a man talking? Is it a car? Or is it an airplane? If it doesn't know, you know, it speculates. So that is the fourth, third khanda. The fifth khanda is thought, a short form of thought, yeah? I want, yeah, or things like that, yeah? And the fifth is consciousness, yeah? Consciousness knows if something has come in contact with the senses, yeah? That's when consciousness arises, yeah? But also consciousness ceases, yeah? When we fall unconscious, that it's not the same thing. Because when consciousness goes, we know consciousness has gone. If you fall unconscious, you don't know where you are or what is happening. Okay? The kilesas, I mean the five khandhas that I just explained, are the toolbox. Yeah? Now there are two powers in our heart. Yeah? Some people call it the light and the darkness. We translate it as avijja and the Dhamma. The Dhamma wants to use the toolbox to go and sit meditation and walk meditation or do investigation. The kilesas just want to use the toolbox to play around. Just like with a smartphone, yeah? That's all their intention is. So the kilesas are the, the five khandhas are not the kilesas. The kilesas use the toolbox to deceive us, yeah? Or to make us do something. And the Dhamma can also use the toolbox, you know, to make something wholesome, more wholesome, yeah? Okay, now I should sit, yeah? Okay, yeah? It's using the toolbox of thought, yeah? I should sit, and memory, you know, I mean, yeah? Okay? Not yet.
How to apply in our daily life?
You just say there's body, there is feeling, there is consciousness. I mean, about consciousness, forget it, you won't see it. But there's memory, yeah? You just see, yeah? Don't you know when you have a feeling? Yeah, yeah? I hurt your feeling, huh? No. I mean, how can I hurt a feeling? Huh? It's impossible. Huh? And the feeling is not yours anyway. It comes and it goes, yeah? No? So don't tell your boyfriend that you hurt my feelings. There is, And so we use the principle of anatta, because then we have a subject and an object. The subject is the knowingness that knows about the object. And the object is a feeling, it's a memory, it's a thought, you know, or it might be the body itself, yeah? You understand that? Okay. So, anything more? Yeah?
I have two questions. The first one, when you do the walking meditation, and then when you're with the breathing, sometimes it's already calm that you don't want to walk anymore. Can you just stop and do standing meditation instead?
That's okay. Yeah. I mean, actually, there are four positions. Yeah. Standing, walking, sitting, and lying down. I mean, I don't encourage people to do the lying down meditation. Because they instantly fall off. Yeah? But standing, yeah, meditation is okay. Yeah.
And another question is about anatta. I still don't get the principle of it. So if everything is because of causes and conditions and it's anatta, so let's say I'm now attending this meditation retreat, who's making the decision to attend the retreat?
Luchita. The chitta uses the toolbox, yeah? Uses your body to go to a retreat, but before it goes to a retreat, yeah, it tells you, yeah, it would be nice to have a retreat. So the Dhamma is using then the toolbox, you know, to bring you to a retreat, yeah? But neither the Dhamma nor the kilesas, yeah, are there forever, yeah? I mean, if we get rid of the kilesas, then the kilesas are gone. But if we get rid of the kilesas, we also get rid of the Dhamma. Yeah? Then we just are there. Yeah? And then nobody tells us what to do, you know, then there's just doing. Yeah? I know it's a bit difficult, you know. I mean, don't forget it, what I just said, yeah. Yeah? Yeah? Nobody? I mean, you're just here 2 days, you know, no questions, huh? I mean, there are so many things, you know, that are unclear, you know. How many talks did I give? 3 talks already, you know, and there's everything clear? Oh, that would be wonderful, you know. Or you haven't understood a thing, so you can't even ask questions. Huh?
Yeah. Morning, Ajahn. I just have a question. When you talk about people going to smartphone and all this, is today's world is a virtual, right? I even have 2 daughters who are constantly, or even in the office as well, people don't really pay attention even in a meeting. They are always on their smartphone as well. Now, how do we put the practice that we have to besides imposing, like in a meeting, I will say no smartphone, everyone put it aside and so forth, but put people uncomfortable, I get feedback that it's not the today's virtual world. So how do we connect through our heart to help make a difference in a way?
What did you do 20 years ago?
No smartphone.
You're still connected to the people. About your daughters, you know, I mean, it's their decision, yeah? About you, you can start, yeah? Huh? And when your daughters see that you don't use your smartphone anymore at home, yeah? I mean, they might ask, you know, well, why don't you use your smartphone anymore? I said, it's too distractive, yeah? It makes the mind, you know, restless, yeah? And I don't see what is going on. So we have to be the example, yeah? So that people, you know, people look up to us, you know, and see, oh, there's something, you know, there's something nice about this, you know, what are you doing, you know, I want to be the same, yeah? Especially when people change, yeah? Huh? When your colleagues see that you change, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why? Ah, I do meditation. How do I do this, yeah? And then you invite them, you know, invite them to a meditation retreat where they can learn meditation. But if they don't ask, you don't do anything, yeah? And with kids, it's the same thing, yeah? I mean, you shouldn't give the kids enough. Now I see 3 years old playing with a smartphone because the mother is too lazy to look after the kid. Huh? I mean, it used to be the TV, you know. I mean, when I was in America, studying in America in the 80s, yeah, beginning of the 80s, I mean, the TV was running all day long, and the kids were just watching TV, yeah. It's the same thing, you know, watching TV or, you know, I mean, playing with a smartphone, yeah. So you just take it away from them, and then they are raised, you know, in a family where there is no TV and no smartphone, yeah. But be smart about using your smartphone, yeah? Understood? Be smart about using your smartphone just for the things that are absolutely necessary. I know the boss, you know, constantly wants contact with you, yeah? Then they say, you know, tell the boss, you know, if you want 24/7, you know, contact with me, then you have to pay me more, yeah? I only work 8 hours a day, you know, for five days, yeah? I don't work during the night, yeah? You have to give me extra cash, yeah? They're so used to it, yeah? I mean, it's only 20, it's not even 20 years, it's 10 years ago, you know, where the use of the smartphone become more and more and more, yeah? And we can't even now, we can't even let go of it anymore, yeah? It has to be always there. Where's my smartphone? Where's my smartphone? I forgot my smart. Lock it up. Yeah. Where's Ryan? You know, you can create an app. You know, when you open your smartphone, puto. Wouldn't that? That would be nice. Yeah. It reminds us. You know. So, you.
The let go and ignorance is different, is totally different. But many people will think that ignore is the same of let go or plong. So how should we explain to them that it's totally different because of you don't go through the process of that thinking first, that what is the root cause of the thuk?
Why do you want to explain? Do they ask you?
They said that, is it true that a human being can really let go? Like, for example, they're suffering from, like, a family problem, something like that.
What they can do is not giving in. That's what they can do, you know, 24/7, yeah? Yeah? Not giving in to their feeling, saying there's a feeling, you know, and then just watch it pass by, yeah? Or if, you know, say there's a memory, just watch it pass by, yeah? That's what they can do. Letting go, the heart is the only thing that can let go. I explained it, you know, if you constantly watch outside, you know, and your hand is on fire, if somebody directs your head towards the fire, it's a heart, yeah? I mean, this is the letting go, yeah? The heart automatically retracts the head, yeah? And then it's not interested about what is going outside because it has found the source, yeah? And it won't do it again, yeah? That's the nice thing about the heart. That's why we need to teach the heart and not the mind, not the brain, yeah? A lot of people, you know, yeah? I understand it, you know, we are smart, you know, we have to be smart, you know, to get a job, yeah? But this smartness, you know, hinders us in our practice, yeah, in our development of the practice, yeah. So, you can tell your friends, you know, yeah? I mean, you have ants here, yeah, ants, yeah. When the ant is on the roof, you know, and want to go down to the floor, actually it could let go, yeah, and then fall to the floor, but it does not know the command. It knows only how to do one step, one step, one step. So, you know, it crawls along the, you know, side down until it reaches the floor. That's what we can do. Yeah? And that is exactly what our practice is. The heart will let go once the heart understood. Yeah? Even if the mind or the kilesa is still attached to it, the heart won't do it anymore. Yeah? Okay? More about practice, huh? Yeah.
Ajahn, one more question on the citta. So can we then say citta is I then? Because citta is the one that follows us from one life to another life. And that's So when we say non-self, isn't citta the self and the I?
You could you can say that the defiled citta is yourself. Yeah? With all these characteristics or tendencies that you have, yeah? Because they are all coming from the citta, yeah? The kilesas bring them up and say, this is me, that's how I'm looking, this is what I want, yeah? Think about the citta, yeah? The essence of the citta, think about it as a diamond, yeah? Each one has a diamond, but each one of you has different facets on this diamond. And all what we see are these facets of the diamond, we don't see the true nature of the citta. We don't see the true nature of the diamond. You understand? It sparkles, it clings, you know, some sparkle more, some sparkle less, yeah? Yeah? Some have more this kind of characteristic tendency. So, what we do in meditation process, you know, we remove all these facets, yeah? Some of the facets we cannot remove, yeah? But we can remove the kilesas that use these facets. Yeah? Okay? It is difficult to understand what the citta. The citta of the arahant is a free citta. The citta of us, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah. We created all these facets, all these characteristic tendencies, yeah. all our desires, all our hate, you know, we created, you know, each time, you know, we polish this facet, you know, then we don't like it anymore, and then we do another facet, you know. Yeah, that's how we normally create it, yeah. And once we got rid of our vicha, you know, then there's only the nature of the citta, yeah. Every one of us has the same nature, yeah. But your facets of your diamond is different, yeah. But the nature of the diamond is the same for all of us, yeah? Not only for human beings, also for ghosts. Or for animals, yeah? Or beings in hell, you know, or beings in heaven, yeah? We have all the same, yeah? We have all the same nature, the true nature. Okay? So, one more?
Hi Ajahn, I would like to ask a question on walking meditation. When I do the walking meditation, I find that it's easier to focus on the contact of the feet. The contact of the feet, the sensation of the feet walking. When I add the buddho, then sometimes my mind can be a bit lacking in the focus.
Yeah, you have to retrain it, yeah? You just don't watch your feet, you know, your body, you just walk. Normally, because if you watch your feet, isn't that? And then your mind is all over the place. If you walk fast, yeah, then it's fine, yeah. Just concentrate on the buddho, yeah. And in the beginning of the path, you know, you look at the end of the path, just this one path, I want to be with the breath or with the buddho, yeah. And sooner or later you will know that you're walking, yeah. In the beginning, when the mind is very busy with the buddho, it might not know that you're walking, yeah? Yeah? And walking meditation, you can reach upachara samadhi just the same way, yeah? I walk for 3 or 4 hours, yeah? Sometimes I walked in a cave for 3-4 hours, you know? And then suddenly I was sitting, you know, and saw a body walking up and down, walking up and down, walking. Ah, that's interesting. Huh?
Ajahn, one of the talks that I greatly enjoyed from you was on the training of the war elephant.
The what?
Training of the war elephant.
As this is the last day of the retreat, can I ask that you give us this teaching so that we remember to bring this attitude back to our normal life?
I mean the training of the war. The training of the war elephant, or the king's war elephant, you know, I mean, it's mostly a training for monks or bhikkhunis, yeah? Not for lay people. But, you know, it gives us a hint, you know, if we want to find a way out, yeah? The first thing, you know, I mean, you catch a wild elephant, yeah? And then you bind a really thick rope around his neck, you know, and tie it to a pole. That is what is called samadhi. We tie it to the bowl of kudo or to the pole around the tip of the nose. Yeah. Once the elephant knows that it cannot escape anymore, yeah, it puts itself to rest. Yeah. That's when we are in upachara samadhi or apana samadhi. And then once he's okay with this, you know, being constantly, you know, in samadhi, then the soldiers come, you know, with spears, you know, and slowly picking the sides of the elephant, yeah? That's when your friend constantly pick you, yeah? That's what they do, yeah? They try to pick, yeah? Do this, say this, say that, you know, so that you get hurt, you know, or that you feel terrible, or things like that. That is the training of the war elephant, yeah? And the wounds get deeper and deeper. They want to make, you know, so that because it's a king's war elephant, yeah, that in case of the death, yeah, that the elephant just goes down so that the king can disembark. Yeah. So it's quite a tough training, yeah. Don't even worry about it. Just get the idea, you know. Samadhi is tying the wild elephant to a rope until it gets calm. And then investigation, for instance, investigation of the body, that is, you know, where it really hurts, yeah? You don't want to see this mess, huh? You don't want to open your stomach and look the food, yeah? See? Or in the intestines, you slit them open 20 meters, yeah? Look, what is this, yeah? How it is processed, yeah? No, we normally don't want it. You know, that is the training with the spears, you know, I mean, to get us irritated, to get us aggravated, yeah, so that we can learn how to deal with it, yeah. Just like the war elephant, you know, learns how to deal with it. Yeah? He knows, you know, that we don't want to kill him, yeah, but we want to train him, yeah. Okay? So, I think if nothing... So I have to think about... There's one more talk, yeah? Shall we make a test before the talk? Then I know what subjects, you know, I have not been understood. Written test? No. What? No, multiple choice test, yeah?